Welcome back to Stratisfaction. This is our fifth episode and another auto edition of the I Bet You Don't Know series. In today's episode, we're revving up to explore the often overlooked but crucial aspects of auto insurance. Ever wondered what a driver factor is or how it affects you? We'll guide you on how to locate yours and to check up on your driving and claims history. Borrowing a car and insure a boat rental insurance? We'll drive you through the essentials, ensuring you can hit the road with confidence, knowing you're protected, rain or shine. But that's not all. We'll shift gears to talk about replacement insurance, debunking myths, and revealing how it's available for vehicles up to 10 model years old. Yes, you heard it right. Not just two or three, but up to 10 model years. And as the landscape of auto insurance transforms, we'll tackle the rising phenomenon of cars being declared a total loss from what appears to be just minor crashes. What does this mean for you? Stay tuned to find out. Let's get this journey started. Welcome to Stratisfaction.
I'm here to talk about our second part of What You Don't Know. And the first one we did, we talked about personal lines, more specifically home and condo insurance. And we had Ling and Sean who were the speakers. Today I have Sandra Enriquez and we have Rochelle White as well that's going to be talking. If you two can please say hi. Sandra, you want to say hi first?
Hi, Anna. Thanks for having me today.
And Rochelle.
Hey, Anna.
Okay.
Also happy to be here.
Yes, thank you. No, I'm happy for you to be here. So you're going to introduce yourself again just to talk a little bit about your role here at Stratis. But first, I know there's a few topics that we wanted to talk about. Things within your policy or maybe stuff that's within your policy that you didn't actually get that you should be getting or things you have already gotten, you already have the coverage, but you don't know that it actually has this coverage. So I'm going to have Sandra, if you want to speak first about the first item that's on your.
Thanks, Anna. My name is Sandra Enriquez and I'm the learning and development specialist for Stratis Insurance. So one of the things I think a lot of people don't think about or don't realize is the third party liability. I think everybody thinks, oh, we can't sue. I don't need to have a whole lot of third party liability, which is actually, in fact, not the case at all. There are still situations where we can sue in the province. And that's why I always recommend 5 million of third party liability.
Yeah.
So, for instance, some of those situations could be where you're driving on the highway, you don't do a shoulder check, and you take out a semi, they jackknife, everything inside the semi truck is now all over the highway, and you will get a giant bill for whatever all of those things inside that semi costs. And that could be millions of dollars, depending on what it was carrying. Mm-hmm. Another situation is like you hit a power pole. I literally just had this happen in my block a couple of weeks ago. Somebody took out a power pole. We were all without power for almost 12 hours.
Wow.
And so if this happens where it's a business district and you've got restaurants or grocery stores, those sorts of things, and now they all have to close down. They've got stuff in refrigerators and freezers that's now melting. You're on the hook for what could end up being millions of dollars while they're shut down and for all those losses.
So was yours all really residential?
In our case, area? It was all residential. Yeah, but it does happen and it happens more often than you think. I mean, it was a few months ago, probably I think it was in November, a car went through a business window in Richmond. And like now that business is completely shut down, right? Well, they have to do repairs. So that person who ran through the front of that business is now on the hook for all of those losses.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had an advisor who worked with us and probably about a year ago, he said he served a client where the client was adamant on only having $2 million of liability. He got into an accident. Hit a power pole, also took up the block's electricity, and the claim was just under $4 million because of all the business loss, the business interruption that they had. So, I mean, clearly he had to pay out of pocket. I'm not sure how it works, but maybe got his wages garnished or his business revenue garnished. And I mean, all the business owners, ICBC, all the insurance companies are going after him for that difference of the million plus. So it is more common than I think we know it to be. And I wanted to ask you as well, Sandra, because when we first went into what's called now enhanced care, prior to that, it was, you know, I guess, you know, all fault insurance or at fault insurance. I'm not sure what they called it before. What was it called before enhanced care?
Well, yeah, it was tort based. Yeah,
that's it. Tort based model. Yes. Okay. So So when it was during that time, they were talking. I remember when we were being taught that there was a difference between off highway and on highway use. And if it's off highway use, that tort law still can come into effect because technically it's private property. And of course, there's conditions to that. You can still sue for injury. Is that correct, Sandra?
Yeah. So let's just say you're in your condo parkade and you hit a pedestrian mm-hmm. as you're whizzing out of the condo parkade. So that is private property. That's an off highway. So in that case, that pedestrian, well, they'll have access to accident benefits. There is the potential where they can sue you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's happened. So we had also a client go into a private, I guess it's just a parking lot. And because it wasn't so much, it was enclosed. There was a little bit of those, I don't know what you call those city barricades. Those, it's almost like those wooden pylons that go across the entrance. They were still able to go past it. And because of that, they went through, but it's considered private property. And there was a car accident. And in that situation, if there was an injury, there would also be an injury claim. With the enhanced care, I don't know if you want to explain it, Sandra, the difference now is that you can't sue for injury. Back before enhanced care with the tort law, you can sue for injury. Now is you cannot sue for injury unless it is on private property, basically off highway use. Is that correct?
For the most part, like if it's, you can, the lawsuit ban still applies if it's two or more licensed vehicles that are in an accident on or off highway. But where you get into trouble is when you're not two ICBC insured vehicles, right? It's a bicyclist, it's a pedestrian, those sorts of situations will come into play. I mean, the nice thing with the enhanced care is they do have a lot more benefits available to them than ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Briefly?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So when this new model came in, we went from $300,000 of accident benefit coverage to $7.5 million.
Wowzers.
So huge, huge increase. And they've kind of taken into account pretty much anything that could happen to somebody, you know, whether you're permanently injured, like you become a paraplegic or a quadriplegic, they take all of those sorts of things into account now. So the idea is because they've upped the ante, you don't have to sue anymore because they're going to take care of you.
Yeah. And they took out the fact that it's, you know, the potential future income, right? But they did supplement it, change it to what your current income is, and you would get the income replacement for the rest of your life, that the income that you have now, right?
Yeah. So not only income replacement, but like in the case where you're catastrophically injured, there is a catastrophic impairment benefit as well, which is a lump sum payment. So, and there's so many benefits now that you have access to in an accident, which is really great, actually.
Yes, it is really great.
Yeah. I think a lot of things that, you know, that they're not getting covered anymore, or that there's no coverage for them anymore. I hear people say it all the time, you know, ICBC isn't paying anymore. And that's not the case at all. They're being properly taken care of. And they've kind of almost eliminated these, I don't want to say false claims, but these like these crazy lawsuits that were happening, you know, for with almost no basis.
Yes.
And so it kind of sent everybody into a turmoil thinking we don't need to buy extra insurance coverage anymore because we're not being properly covered. And that's not the case. It's quite the opposite. Yeah. You're being finally properly covered.
Yeah. Yes. And the whole goal also was to minimize the claims, of course, but because of that, then they would be able to minimize the premiums. And I know back before it was enhanced care, the premiums between each increment of liability was much higher. Now it's, I don't know, I'm going to guess, you know, from 1 to 2 million to 3 million to 5 million, it's probably with someone who's got a kind of a fairly okay individual driving factor, is about $30 per year. So it's really not a significant difference. So if you have the typical third-party liability that's purchased nowadays is 2 million, which is, you know, even most insurance companies are saying that that's way too little. But if you were to go from 2 to 5, it's really anywhere from $50 to $60, which is, I think, pretty insignificant.
Yeah, the jump is like $30. Sometimes it's super small. And so when you think about what that $30 is giving you, it's giving you peace of mind, right?
Yeah. And millions of dollars more of coverage.
That's it.
So I agree. I agree that everybody should get 5 million. And at Stratus, we really do. That's how we advise our clients is to have the 5 million because you just never know. And if we all had a crystal ball, I guess we wouldn't really need to have insurance, but because we don't, this is, you know, it's getting the best protection. So,
well, I've always thought of it as like nobody really like enjoys insurance, like in the sense that like it's not fancy. Yeah. You can't wear it out and show it off to your friends. You can't hang it up on your wall and look at it every day and say, oh, it's just such a beautiful insurance policy. Nobody looks at it like that. But you know, when they do look at it like that, when they need it.
Yes.
There for them and when it responds.
Yes, that's right. That's when we see the most cases where they're either properly insured or underinsured. So, and we want to make sure at least, you know, whoever listens to the podcast and all of our clients are covered properly. So did you want anything add anything else, Sandra?
Yeah, I think one of the other things that a lot of people don't think about is they take that drive across the border to get groceries or gas.
Yeah.
You drive in the US, you drive outside of BC into another province like Alberta, and you have an accident and those folks can sue you as well. And then
they will sue you as long as they can.
Yeah, they will. And then you're talking about in US dollars. So having that 5 million of third party liability is really going to be key in those situations so that across the border run doesn't end up costing you everything you own.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so thanks, Sandra. And so I will leave the next coverage to you, Rochelle. So what did you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, my name is Rochelle White, and I am the DSA lead, which is the digital sales department. So definitely a lot of client-facing interaction in my department. Mm-hmm. So I do hear from clients a lot. And what I wanted to talk about, or something that comes up quite often, is just that ICBC had swapped over to a driving factor from a discount level. Constantly hear from people saying, well, what's my discount? Or where does that move me on? If I have a claim, where does that put me on the discount scale? Well, that's not the case anymore. So it's now, I guess it's been since 2019. That ICBC swapped over to a driving factor. And what that means is that it's kind of like a number that's generated on the back end. And so those factors are driving experience, crash history, and then they also take into account the age of the driver. So seniors, as well as any out-of-province history. So those four things are factored into that driving factor. And then from there, they actually combine how many drivers there are in the household. Everybody's assigned a driving factor, and then that number is combined to give what's called the combined driving factor. And that is what equates to the newfound, I guess, discount. But in the event of a claim, the driving factor goes up, not down. And the more experience you have brings that driving factor down. So it's very hard for people to understand, you know, like when you're telling them that, because it's a number that you're assigned. It's like a 3-digit number. So say, for instance, my driving factor is a 0.652.
Yeah, it's like a credit score almost.
It is. It is almost like a credit
insurance score. Yes,
it is. It is. A lot of times people are curious what their driving factor is. If that's the case, they can log on to icbc.com and they can actually look it up, as well as their crash history. Their driving experience, all of that is available to them on there. It's really quick and easy for them to find out. But yeah, I just think that it's something that comes up more times than not, because people want to know what is factoring into the cost of their insurance. And so I guess that kind of opens up another conversation that we can have. And that is, what is factoring into the cost of people's insurance premiums? So it is the type of vehicle that they're driving. It is how they're driving their vehicle, so what they're using it for. And it is the driving factor, so basically what their driving experience is. And those three things factor into the cost of insurance. And so what we're seeing now, or what I'm seeing now especially, is that the vehicle ratings have gone up recently. Mm-hmm. So the collision and the comprehensive have recently had an increase in ICBC.
So, well, across the board, I think all insurance companies, all auto insurance companies, have brought up the premiums.
Yes. Well, usually you'll see the private market sort of like
respond.
Follow suit.
Yes.
There's something done at ICBC end. Mm-hmm. So, but definitely seeing an increase on the premiums with regards to collision and comprehensive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, you were talking about the driving factor. There's other things that can influence or be addition to the, an addition to the driving factor, which is, let's say if there was a learner.
Yes, there is a learner's premium that is applied when a learner is added onto the policy. Yeah. And that just changed within the last week.
It's 225 is the last.
$225. And so that is a premium that is tacked onto the insurance. But the great thing about the learner's premium is that if that learner was to suffer a claim during that period, it would not affect their driving factor moving forward. So it's almost like that grace period where they can learn. And I mean, hopefully they don't get into a car accident, but if they do, it won't affect them. It's not going to take them, you know, down before they even get started, really.
Yeah, that's, and we at Stratus, I don't know if everybody does this, but we do advise that if they have a learner's and they go on and get their NDL, their driver's license, that they can keep it as a learner's premium for the term of the policy, right? From what I was
they
told.
Can yeah. Yeah, so it's
and that way it won't impact their driver's license if they get into an accident during within the term of the policy.
For sure. So if, for example, you go and you get your learner's license in July and the policy it renews in, say, June the following year, you may want to hold off getting that N driving license until after you've already renewed that policy, because it doesn't need to be updated until the following renewal. So that would be sort of like two terms that you could actually run through on their learner's license.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like one of those like mini loopholes that you can take advantage of.
Yeah. And what was that other thing that I had mentioned the last time? A reliable source telling me from ICBC that if you get your car and register it the same day that you get your learners, you won't get charged a learner's premium?
That's what you were mentioning. I have not heard that before,
Yeah.
nor have I seen that in play, but I am kind of interested to know a bit more about that.
Yeah, apparently you don't. And this is from a reliable source from ICBC. And also the other one was he told me that if everybody that is listed as a driver on the policy are learners, you actually don't get charged a learner's premium. Go figure. I would feel like the risk is higher, but that's not my decision to make,
So in
I
that
guess.
case, though, what do you know, like what would there be, what would the assigned, there would be no driving factor. So if everybody on the policy is a learner, there would be no assigned driving factor and there would be no learner's premium.
I think you probably know more than me, Rochelle, but you can list the learner as the principal driver, right? As a primary
Okay.
driver.
Yeah.
But if the primary driver and all the additional drivers are learners,
Yeah.
then there is no learner's premium. I mean, for me, that risk is so high. Why wouldn't anybody tack on? Why would the insurance
Yeah,
company not
I would
tack
think
on
it would be a per learner, per person
per
fee
learner premium?
attached on.
That's
Like that would
right.
be the correct way, but I do
That's
know that
right.
there's only one learner's fee applied. Because I have
Yeah.
seen policies where there's been multiple learners on the policy
Yes.
and there's only that
Yeah.
one fee that's applied. Do I, so I do know
Yeah,
that is the case.
it makes no actuarial sense to me. But
I would probably put a pin in that and watch for ICBC to maybe correct it down the
to be continued. To be
Yeah.
continued. That's right. So what was there anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Think so. I just kind of wanted it to be like a bit of a like speaking point. Like I just wanted people to sort of understand that this has changed. If you're curious about your driving factor and where you currently sit, you can look it up. You can go all by yourself with your driver's license, log on to icbc.com, check that out. If you have a claim, you will notice that your driving factor is going to change. But do we as insurance brokers have an idea anymore? Or are we able to tell you just how much it's going to change? Unfortunately, not.
Yeah. And the underwriters tell us that there's no way they can really explain it to us, and which is, it gives us very little control and not much of a discussion with our clients. So you were mentioning there are two factors. One is the individual driving factor. That's just for the individual. We call it the
That's right.
IDF. And then if it's there is more than one driver, there's a primary driver and additional drivers, then it would be considered a CDF, which is combined driving factor.
That's
And if
right.
someone were to get an accident, because back in the day prior to enhanced care, if there was an at-fault claim, the at-fault claim would affect the either the registered owner, the driver, or the car, whichever comes first, right?
That's right.
Now it's changed where it follows only the person who got into the car accident.
That's right. It follow the claims follow the drivers now, which is the way it should be. It really truly is because probably people used to hide in policies, I think. So you would have like, say a mom and dad and they insure the vehicle and mom has a great driving history. And so she's listed as the main driver. And then before, because you didn't have to list all the drivers, basically and your daughter driving this vehicle, well, the daughter gets into an accident and the daughter gets into an accident. And who does that claim affect? Well, it affects the mom. And maybe it doesn't really greatly affect the mom because she probably has a really great driving history, so it barely affects the mom. So then the true insurance premiums are not being paid based on claims. So they've kind of corrected insurance here in BC, so that basically claims are affecting the people that caused them. And then the insurance premiums are being charged rightfully so based on people's driving history. So I know that like, for like people that don't understand insurance and things like that, they think that, oh, what's going on? They're just charging all these high premiums and things like that. But really, they're actually kind of correcting the insurance model.
And we don't know how it's going to work out, right? It's going to take several years for them to really understand how the losses are going to pay out. But I also wanted to add as well, that we it'd be back in the day, it was, we didn't have to list everybody. You're right. right? It's just whoever the principal driver was, and that was it. There were no, well, there was no such thing as additional drivers.
No.
Now that there is additional drivers, it is a little bit more complex, or a lot more complex, because they put in these conditions, right? If you're a household member, mandatory, you have to list them if they're going to drive the car, even if it's going to be for 5 seconds of the entire year.
That's right.
Although you can list and remove at any time. And then the other one was, can you guys explain, one of you guys explain who, what the other conditions are? Or the other drivers that have mandatory listed?
Yes. So if you're an employee, you must be listed. So it's listed drivers need to be household members, employees, anyone that's going to use your vehicle more than 12 times in the calendar year. We kind of have a different...
Sorry, Sandra, you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, the 12 times thing is where a lot of people get into trouble because it's not a calendar year.
It's well, from the look back from the date of claim.
Yeah.
12 times
from
in the calendar year prior to the date of claim.
Yeah, yeah. That's so, right. And what they don't realize is it's also, they don't just look at the car they had the accident in. They look at any car that that person was a registered owner for.
Yeah.
So if you have two vehicles and they drove one of your vehicles that for 6 days and they drove the other vehicle for 8 days, they're under 12 for, you know, each individual vehicle, but combined they're over that 12 times. And in that case, then you'd end up with that unlisted driver penalty, which is quite expensive.
Yeah, which I also don't really agree with the way that they had created that definition, but I mean, who am I to say? And then, so I just wanted to add as well that there's sometimes we at Stratus here, like you were going to mention, right, Rochelle, we always say just add anybody who's going to be driving the car because it doesn't hurt. You may pay an extra premium. It could be prorated. You add just before they drive. You remove them after they finish driving if it's just going to be for a short term. But just add them anyways just to prevent any mishaps or any misunderstandings or any possible, claim. So
totally. The question you should ask yourself is who has access to my vehicle
at any time?
So who has access to my vehicle and, you know, is possibly going to be a user? And honestly, you should just list them. Granted, if the premium's going to go right up because this person maybe doesn't have a great driving factor, then yes, you can temporarily add someone and then you can remove them after the fact. But otherwise, I would say just add people that you think are possibly going to be using your vehicle and keep yourself safe. And then that way you don't have to think about it. I have a really close friend of mine and they didn't do their last policy with me. They just did it at the like local insurance agency and they're a company owner and they had all their employees listed on all their company vehicles except for his own personal truck, which he lent to one of his employees one day to just take a quick errand down the street. And that employee clipped a bus and just damaged the mirror. It was a $400 claim, $400. And it ended up costing him over $6,000.
That's incredible.
Because he got charged that the unlisted driver penalty. So for a $400 mirror, he got charged $6,000 for just a simple little trip down the road to the like convenience store. Hey, yeah, take my truck, buddy. But because he was an employee of his company and he hadn't listed him even one time behind the car, and that trip cost him $6,000.
And there probably wouldn't have been a change in premium. They probably had the same IDX card.
Probably
too,
not. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other that brings up another good point is anybody who's had an accident in your vehicle in the last 5 years also has to be a listed driver.
Be listed. Yes.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing too is whenever you're going to let somebody use your car, make sure they have a valid driver's license, because that is also an issue where you can get that unlisted driver penalty.
Yeah. And I always add this one too in terms of the mandatory listing. Whenever we're doing our dialogue and role play for our trainees, I use the nanny situation because a lot of clients don't really consider their nannies as employees. And a lot of people don't lend their car out to their nannies, but it could have been just a last minute decision. Hey, I'm at work, I'm stuck. Can you go and pick up the kids from school? They go, to pick up the kids, get into an accident. Well, that person is technically an employee and has a potential of, not having coverage if there's a claim.
Yeah, don't send me for the next bubble tea order with your car. That's for sure. No.
No, I'll know too. You just add yourself onto my policies. At any time you go have bubble tea, bring me some bubble tea and just make sure you list. It's worth it. If we get into an accident and we don't have coverage, it's shame on us, right? Because we're the advisors. So, and like you were
Definitely. No.
a whole other podcast. So that'd be a whole other dramatic podcast. Yeah. So it's interesting that you said that, Rochelle, how that your friend went to another agency, and they and this is why we changed our name to Stratus, because we really want to up the game and really be able to create professionalism in this industry. Most brokers, and it's really no fault of theirs, but we've created a culture of order taking. And so unfortunately, a big percentage of this industry, they're order takers. They ask you if you want to keep the coverage the same, and they just keep everything the same without confirming anything, without any giving any advice. And so here we really push our team to have that level of professionalism, to be that high performing professional, and to be able to advise you on what is best protection for you. So I can see, we hear it all the time where we have clients coming in, they've had accidents because they had gone to another insurance agency and they were undercovered or underinsured. So just be careful. It's really important. Everybody wants to keep their insurance all the same, but your life changes and your coverage needs to change with your life. And it's really important you're protecting your most valuable assets, that you know what you're buying. And that's why we're doing podcasts like this. There, your car is, I don't know, it could be anywhere from, I guess, thousands to hundreds of thousands. We have cars that are insured for over $500,000. And how do you not want to know what you're covered for,
Yeah, I was
right?
just gonna say, like, honestly, if I could give like one like public service announcement here on this podcast, it would be the worst possible thing that you could do when going to get your insurance policy renewed or a change made is to insist that everything just stays the
Everything the
same.
same. Oh,
That's
it makes
all
me
you hear every
cringe.
time. I just want to keep everything the same. And it's like,
Yep.
I understand you're in a hurry, your time is valuable, but you almost want to treat it like a doctor's visit. You
Yeah.
want this to be thorough because you do not want to be misdiagnosed or have the
Yes.
wrong
Yeah.
prescription given to you
Yeah.
when you
Yeah.
walk out, right? And that's kind
That's
of what
right.
insurance is like. Unfortunately,
Yeah.
we're protecting your financial health.
Yes. Yep, that's right. That's right. Your asset health. I mean, it doesn't make me cringe that clients say it, but it makes me cringe when we hear advisors accepting it and just
That's right.
processing the transaction without confirming anything. So, yeah, it's really big for me. It's so important that we go over coverage. I've never allowed for any client to walk out with the fact that they said they wanted to have the same coverage, and I just listened. I've never allowed that to happen. So,
No.
yeah,
Oh, and I
note
did
to
want to
self.
mention too, back to the driving factor quickly, that
Yep.
we didn't touch on like how it's weighted. So the driving factor is weighted 75%
Oh,
on the
yes.
main driver of the vehicle, and then 25% on the person with the like the worst or
Higher risk.
the highest driving factor listed on that vehicle. So if you've got dad, mom, son, and grandma, and your and grandma's got a great, many years of driving experience, and dad has many years, and mom has, somewhere in the middle, you're going to see that it's rated first on grandma, and then it's going to be rated on, the son or the daughter, say, who have less driving experience. And then the two in the middle really don't come into play whatsoever.
So first on grandma, because the grandma is the primary driver, you're saying.
First on grandma, because she's the main driver of that vehicle.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for adding that, Rochelle. Are you're good? We can move on to
I'm
the
good.
next topic.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. So Sandra, your turn.
That's great. I was just going to add too. I loved Rochelle's public service announcement. I said I feel the
That's so
exact
cute.
same way, because people things do change. People get married, they get divorced, like they have children. Children get, they get their L. Like things happen. They change jobs. They change how they're driving their
They
vehicle, and people
move,
don't
they
think.
everything, like they don't
Yeah,
even realize it.
exactly. And they don't think about it, no. So that's great. And one of those other things that people aren't probably aware of at all is, like we were talking earlier about the that new enhanced accident benefits. Well, part of that enhanced accident benefits includes that income replacement, which we had mentioned. Well, there's a cap to that income replacement, and currently that's sitting at $109,000 of gross income. So if you earn more than $109,000 and you want to have all of your income given back to you if you can't work, then you want to have an income top-up policy. And anyone can drive that. You don't have to be an owner of the car. You don't have to be a driver of the car. Anyone can buy that income top-up policy to cover their income that's over that 100,000. So, and it's relatively inexpensive as well to add.
And I think now, I mean, it's been a few years since this was introduced, but I would say that even though it's been around for years, it's still not talked about enough. There hasn't been a strong enough dialogue for a lot of advisors to talk about. We stress, we work on it on our dialogues all the time with our staff, but I think with out there, there's a level of this discomfort when it comes to asking people about how much they earn. And there's a purpose for that. We're asking so that we can see if you should buy the income top up. So if you do earn 109 or earn more than 109,000, at least in the meantime for 2024, because ICBC, they're sometimes they bring up that limit.
It
It's probably
will
gonna
go up in April, I
because of
think.
inflation.
It's
Okay,
usually
yeah, they do
April.
this
Yeah,
inflation
they
protection.
adjust it every year. Yeah.
So right now it's 109. It's probably going to go up and in April. And it, you will see that if you go into an agency, there is a possibility that they're not going to go over with you because they're not comfortable talking about your personal information or your finances or how much you make. So if you make over a 109, make sure you ask about it because if you have a claim, and let's just say you're not able to work. This is a lifetime coverage, right? If you're not able to work, then you are only going to be capped at 109. And for someone who's making like 180, let's say, for example, that's a big loss of income. How are you going to support your lifestyle? Unless you have a big disability policy, but not everybody has it.
No, I mean, yeah, do you really want to give up $70,000 of your income in that case? I wouldn't.
That's
And
right.
so, yeah, so the that policy you can buy in increments of $10,000 up to an extra 100,000. So, and it's only like $40 per $10,000 of coverage. So it's really inexpensive.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally. And I think the best way, I mean, for brokers, like for us as brokers to navigate that is obviously we're not going to say, so how much money are you making? I would hope that that's not the question being asked out to clients as they come in to get their insurance. But to just do a quick explanation of the coverage, just a quick, there is this coverage that's available and this is what it is. And it's, and it applies to you if you earn over, $109,000. Is this a coverage that would apply in your situation? It doesn't need to be, how much money are you making? We don't need to know that. You can just explain the coverage very briefly, educate the client quickly. I just think that,
Oh, that's like a sales training tip for all the advisors out there. That's good.
Yeah,
So,
well, I don't think it's just customer or just clients
yes,
listening
we
to your
know that's
podcast.
right. For all the advisors out there, I agree because this is how we teach our team. And I
It
teach it a
is.
little bit differently when I'm doing sales training. I do it where, like you said, I'm educating and empowering the client. I'm telling them exactly what the coverage is when they have their IC, the basic coverage, right? The accident benefits. And then I talk about the $109,000 cusp. And then I do ask, so having said that or something like that, do you earn more than 109,000? So I make it a little bit more direct because I want to ensure they really understand me. But there's more than one way of going about it. I think so long as we're very specific in what the coverage is and we're asking them, do you earn more than, or does it
I
apply to
mean, just leave
you?
your T4s at home. We don't need to see that.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want
That's right. That's right. We don't need to see your
It's
income
only if you're
stubs.
in a claim. If
Yeah.
you're in a claim, then you'll have
That's
to
when you need
prove
it.
to
That's right. We're not
ICBC how much you
adjusters.
make.
That's
Yeah,
right.
exactly. We take your word for
Yes, that's
it.
right. We take your word for it. You're paying for a premium, or maybe not. So, yeah. Okay, thanks, Sandra. So, Rochelle, do you have another tip or what you don't?
No, I didn't actually. But I was going to quickly add that just to add the maximum income top up, it's only 475,000 or $475. That's to add the actual maximum, the additional top up. What is it, 80 or 90,000 additional?
100,000, almost 100,000. So it's 109,
Yeah.
right? Is the
109, and then you can top it
you can
up
go up
an
to 210
additional.
or something, 209,
Yeah.
That's right.
It's only an additional $475.
God, I know more than you. I can't believe
Well, that's how little these policies are going out the door.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, so nothing
Yeah.
else you wanted to add, Michelle?
No,
There's
I
not
didn't
another
have any
coverage
other
you want to
topics
talk
other
about?
than that, but I mean, I'll gladly talk on something if there's something that you want to discuss.
Well, yes, because there was the collision coverage, because ever since enhanced care
Oh,
came
yeah.
in, remember there was the collision that if you didn't have collision coverage back in the day, you would have a hit and run coverage, and you don't have to have collision at the time. And you can pay 750 a deductible. It was standard on off your basic coverage,
That's
but
right.
then that's changed, right? Because now, if you don't have collision coverage, what happens?
If you don't have collision coverage, then you don't have
Yes,
that hit and run coverage.
that's right. Yeah.
You can buy it standalone on its
But there's not a
own.
huge difference between collision and hit and
It
run.
really
So
is not. And I
remember,
mean, if I would never recommend that, but
no.
yeah, if you do not have that, you do not have that coverage.
Well,
Yes. So
the
a lot of
other,
clients,
sorry, the other thing too is like if you just have that standalone hit and run coverage, that's a $750 deductible. Whereas if you have collision, you can choose a $300 deductible, or if you have private auto, you can get even a lower
Even lower.
deductible than
Yeah,
that. So,
for sure.
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So just remember, because there's a lot of clients, they're still in the old model mentality where, oh, I can do basic coverage. It's going to cover hit and run. And I wouldn't be surprised if some advisors felt the same way or thought the same way.
I think they
But
do.
if you, yes. So if you don't have collision, you don't have hit and run unless you buy standalone or the standalone hit and run coverage. But you might as well just buy the collision so you have full on collision coverage and have the hit and run because there's not that much more of a difference. That to me is really, really big because hit and run is so common.
It's the most common. And we used to
Very.
talk about it all the time. It should be a common conversation for sure. Okay. Well, thanks, Michelle. Sandra, anything you want to talk
Yeah,
about?
I think we've talked about a lot today. I mean, we probably have enough things to talk about that we could do another session, especially like if we start talking about replacement insurance.
Yes, you're the replacement insurance. So there is a segue to that, and we can talk about it a little bit more extensively in our next podcast if we do an auto podcast again. I think the extension is, I think, for a very long time, and nothing wrong with ICBC, but I would say that the culture is the easier way to offer coverage, which is, to offer ICBC. It's one system, one screen. Don't have to go to different screens. Don't have to sell. Don't have to offer. And that is kind of the order taker mentality. So for a lot, all you clients and drivers out there, it's not the end all be all. There are other markets that have better coverage and possibly better premium. But remember, your goal as drivers is to have the best protection. not the best premium. If you're shopping for the best premium, sometimes you get what you pay for. And at the end of the day, you want to cover yourself in the event of an accident, not to have just the best premium. So just remember, there are other companies out there that offer auto insurance, which we offer. And, you know, there are companies that offer all around auto insurance. And then there is what Sandra was going to talk about, those standalone policies like replacement insurance. I mean, really, Sandra, if you really, really want to, you can talk about it right now and we can have 5 or 10 more minutes because we are probably about 40 minutes into the podcast. We can talk about it for, we can make it 50 minutes. It's okay.
Okay. So, thanks for mentioning the private auto, because a lot of people have no idea that that exists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it does offer amazing benefits. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest being accident forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Like that can save people thousands of dollars. So,
yes, I agree.
But with replacement insurance, we can actually insure a vehicle for 10 model years under replacement insurance now. And I think a lot of people think about replacement insurance when they buy that brand new car at the dealership, but they don't really think about it after they've driven off the lot or they've bought a used vehicle. They think they've missed that window, but it's actually not the case. And with how much it is costing these days to repair vehicles, if you have an older vehicle, it's actually even more likely that you're going to end up with a total loss. And that just means it's going to cost more to repair your vehicle than what it's worth. Yes. And even if you're a good driver, like it's not just you on the road, right? Accidents can happen all the time. Look at a snow day in Vancouver and, you know, there's probably 1,200 claims that happen the first time it snows or every time it snows.
That's right.
So, and it's so easy to end up with your car being written off. And a lot of people don't realize they're getting the market value, that depreciated value. So it can often be, you know, you bought your car at $40,000. 3 years from now, it's worth $20,000.
Yeah.
And you're getting paid out $20,000, you still owe money on that vehicle. And now you still have to go out and buy another car.
That's right.
Yeah. And so these policies step in and they fill that gap and put you back into a new car. So
they not only do that too, but I mean, they lock in the value of your vehicle at the date you purchase that policy. So you purchase a policy today. Yeah. And you lock that value in for however many years you purchase, especially if it's like a used policy, for instance. So you purchase your policy today and you lock that policy in for an additional 3, 4, 5 years. You're locked in at that clean black book value today. Not the value you're going to get from your insurance company, but the clean black book value, which let me tell you is high. And so they lock you in at that rate, but then you also get like an appreciation benefit on top of that. So rather than your vehicle depreciating, you're actually getting a 5% per year appreciation benefit on top of that.
For used vehicles, yes. Yeah.
For the used vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if it's a new car, you get new car insurance. Like that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's a new car, you get new car replacement. So if the car's totaled, you would get a new car essentially. And if it's a used car, you would get, you know, the company we deal with, they would give your clean black book value that was originally assessed plus 5% appreciation each year. And we have noticed in the past year, this might change the next year, but for now, fender benders are total losses now, because getting parts is nearly, it's so difficult. It's taking way too long for the body shops to get parts. And so now the insurance companies rather just write off the cars. Electric vehicles, everybody who owns an electric vehicle should consider buying a replacement insurance, because they have the highest rates of total losses. And then what was I going to say? Also, you know, if you have even a small, like a fender bender, the reason why is one is the parts, one is the waiting, but also because the insurance companies don't want to pay out on your rental car while you're waiting. So the total loss claims have definitely gone up because of everything that's happened with supply issues. And I also want to mention too, this was just last month where I had a friend who I had introduced to a dealership, bought a car. It was a, I think it was $120,000 car. And they didn't want to buy the policy. And they called me while they were with one of my advisors. And they said, your advisor is asking if I should buy this replacement insurance. Should I buy it now? I've already maxed out on my budget. This policy is $4,500 and I don't know if I want to buy it. It's not within my budget anymore. And I said, listen, for peace of mind, you should just buy it. When you really put into perspective, $4,500 compared to $120,000 is not that much. You're buying a 5-year policy. You're protected for 5 years. Just buy it, put in the 3-pay. You're not paying for interest and then you're good. Put it on your credit card. So they ended up buying it. Fast forward 2 years later, they even forgot they had this policy, and they called me and they said they wanted to look for a used car, and only for me to find out that the reason why they're looking for used cars because they totaled their car and couldn't afford to get into another new car. So they had to buy something that was actually older than what they had. Theirs was, I think, do you remember, Rochelle? Was it a 2022?
2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a 2-year-old car, they had to look at a 2021 same model with not the same specs. They had the maximum specs on their car. And so when I found out that the reason why they're looking for a used car was because of the total loss, I went in, we checked to see if they had the replacement policy. Sure enough, they did. And because of that, there was a turnover claim time of, I think, from when ICBC paid them, it was 2 or 3 days. It was incredible, 2-3 business days. They got their check. They went into dealership, got a car that was $145,000, $150,000, because that was the price of the car. Now prices have gone up. So the Optium, the insurance company, paid them an extra 30. I think it was 30 some odd thousand. Don't quote me on that, but it's something like that for the car by itself. So they got a new car, didn't have to pay any money. They had to pay extra loss of use because for the time it took to shop for the car, because ICBC at the time, once they pay out the check, they stop with the rental vehicle, right? So they had the policy paid them any additional rental fees, and it was an at-fault claim. So they had to pay deductible. They were out of pocket $500, but because of this policy, they got reimbursed $500. So they walked away, they bought $4,500 for the policy, and it was about $40,000 that they got back because they bought the policy. It's, you know, this isn't the only story that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. We have many stories, even people buying Ferraris, and nobody has ever come back to me and said, well, why did you sell me this policy? No. It is the best policy to buy.
Yeah. And those partial loss claims even too, like that same policy will reimburse deductibles up to $500. So you have a partial loss, you have to replace your windshield, somebody keys your car.
Yeah, OEM parts. That's right.
And you've got that deductible reimbursement. So now it's like you have a $0 deductible. Like you just can't get that anywhere. So the policy pays for itself in a lot of different ways. And it's better to have that policy in place than to have to shell out, like in this case, like your example, that client would have had to shell out $40,000 to put themselves back into the same car.
Yes.
I have a client that travels for work and they're constantly driving. And so they're replacing their windshield so regularly. Mm-hmm. Because of all these windshield claims happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're on their third windshield claim. And they've had every one of those deductibles reimbursed back to them. And then not to mention just that, but you get that OEM parts coverage. So that means that you're getting that, you know, like if you've got a Porsche, you're getting a Porsche windshield put back on. If you have a Volkswagen, the Volkswagen windshield, you're only getting those original manufactured parts.
And that's a big deal. Right. That's because they put all the wiring, the technology in the windshield now. Sometimes when you do an aftermarket windshield, it actually doesn't have those wires. Yeah. And it creates a malfunction of the car. It can actually create problems.
If you have a leased vehicle, this is the other thing I hear all the time with these cars. Everyone's like, oh, I have a lease. No, I don't need this policy. if you have a leased vehicle and you go in to return your lease, one of the first things that they do is a full vehicle inspection to ensure that that vehicle has only original manufactured parts on there. And if it doesn't, if there's been anything altered or changed or a different part put on, you are handed the bill right then and there. Before your lease can go back, you are handed that bill to make sure that it's returned back to its original state. And so this policy, ensuring that you have only original manufactured parts put on, that's huge. That's huge. It's a matter, it can be thousands and thousands of dollars difference between parts.
Yeah. And that's what this specific policy through Optune that we're selling right now, it's a 5-year policy or a 7-year policy. You can buy different terms. And not to say that the other companies, whether it's ICBC or Stratford or Family, they also offer replacement insurance. They're yearly, but the coverage is a little bit different. We found as brokers that Optium has the best coverage, the best claim service. And that's why we really believe in them when it comes to this coverage. Yeah.
I would definitely say it's elite in the you know, the replacement cost coverage world.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
One of the big differences too is they look for ways to pay out on the policy, not ways to avoid paying out.
Yes, that is true.
I like to explain it kind of like a claims concierge. Like, you know, if you've had to deal with like different insurance companies before, maybe you haven't had a very favorable claim experience. Mm-hmm. But if you contact Optium in the event of a claim, they walk you through that process.
Yeah.
They guide you on how to find everything that you're going to need for them. They assist. If they can, they step in and take over that step for you. It's kind of like a claims concierge. And that's really, honestly, if you've been involved in a total loss situation, that's what you want. You do not want to be dealing with a bunch of red tape.
That's right. Yeah, you do want a little bit of hand-holding because you're already stressed out enough, especially if it's going to be a total loss. I can only imagine what your state will be in when you're in a total loss. The last thing you need is to be able to call and have to ruffle through papers or not have any guidance on it. And then find out at the end of the day, you actually don't have proper coverage.
Yeah.
As if you can't, your day can't be any worse, you know? So it's really important. Just imagine, you know, the worst case scenario, not to say that it will happen, but prepare for the worst case scenario. And that's to make sure that you're going to be paying the extra premium, but to have the best coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a good ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very positive.
So, yes, very positive. So on that note, we're going to end this podcast. Please follow us and subscribe to our podcast. And, you know, we're here, Stratus Insurance. Our podcast is Stratus Faction. If you guys have any questions, feel free to call us directly. Thanks, Rochelle. Thanks, Sandra.
Thanks, Anna.